Welcome to a new episode of our S4N Changemakers podcast. And I'm very happy to welcome Oliver Koch, CEO of Sonnen, market leader in battery energy storage for private households. Welcome, Oliver.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Great pleasure to attempt this podcast. Really looking forward to the next half an hour, 45 minutes, 3 hours. Let's see how long we will take.
How did you find your way from companies all over the world, Seoul, Sydney, Sacramento, to Wildpolsried?
Indeed, a tiny little village in the Allgäu region of Germany. So it's the year 2013, and my family and I were living and working in California, and we've just scaled a solar company there and sold it to Solar City. And so I was thinking about what could be my next move. Where could I find an innovative company? And my father sent me a newspaper article by the German Daily Handelsblatt about this small company in southern Germany called ProSol. And this is how Sonnen was called back then, doing energy storage. And so I thought this was very interesting, contacted the founder, Christoph Ostermann, Thorsten Stiefenhofer, and we started talking across the Atlantic. And then we also met face-to-face, both in the offices and also when Sonnen was exhibiting in the United States at the Intersolar in San Francisco back then. And we started talking and got along really well. And so we packed our things in California and moved to southern Germany. And that was back in 2014, so quite a while ago.
Oh, wow. And then you have been CEO for Sonnen for more than 4 years, right? What have been your challenges and highlights as CEO for such a fast-growing green tech company during this time so far?
I think there's several highlights and work stream over time. I think one is facilitating Sonnen's change in business model. The old business model of Sonnen was, of course, one where we sell someone a box, they buy a storage system from Sonnen, they buy a battery, and then we hope that we will never hear from you again, because if you call, usually it means something is wrong with the battery. And now Sonnen is a company integrating hardware, software, digital services, energy services, and of course, our virtual power plant into one customer experience and a customer relationship. And so all of a sudden now, instead of selling you hardware once, we are in constant contact with our customers about their energy bills, about optimization of their energy usage, about the virtual power plant. And so changing the mindset of the company from pure hardware play to something which is a lot more integrated, I think has been an interesting work, also a challenge, so that we can stay ahead of the international competition in this field. And of course, all the advantages and disadvantages which come with a fast-growing business over the last few years, Sonnen has grown tremendously, both in Germany as well as abroad.
You've already mentioned the really fast-growing company, and lots of changes been made in the past years. And so far, Sonnen is a pioneer of household batteries and one of the global market leaders in smart solar battery storage. Your services go beyond the installation of PV or just household batteries, as you're also a leader in virtual power plants, so-called VPPs, and energy communities, the so-called Sonnen communities. Could you please summarize for our audience who are not so familiar with Sonnen what exactly your company does and what makes its technology and services so unique?
Yeah, happy to do so, Tia. So Sonnen, as I said before, started as a manufacturer of hardware. We are making batteries, and we are making really good batteries. But what we discovered is that instead of just optimizing usage in an individual household, you can gain value from networking those batteries, putting them all together into a virtual power plant. So each of those batteries is really small. It has, for the energy system of a nation like Germany or any other country, almost no relevance. But when you take tens of thousands of batteries, then all of a sudden combined, they actually have the power of proper large-scale power stations. And we are the world leader when it comes to using those small-scale batteries to provide proper grid services. Grid services means things like FCR or others, where we help the grid operators in different countries to stabilize the grid. So when we talk VPP, we don't mean something which is just doing a little bit of optimization here and there, which is only used once or twice a year. What we mean is that batteries are used daily to help stabilize the grid. And we do this not just in Germany, but we do this across the globe. In many, many different geographies, in Europe, in Australia, in the United States. And one important proof point for us was just a couple of weeks ago in late January, the U.S. Department of Energy published a report about VPPs in the United States. And the report stated that the most advanced VPP operating in the United States is the Sonnen VPP, because it provides significantly more services and more often than any other VPP in the United States. And the same is still true for most other geographies we operate in.
You already mentioned some very interesting aspects, especially the one stabilizing the grid. And this comes to my next question. As a leader in VPPs, how do you see the role of decentralized household flexibility now or in the next, let's say, 5 to 10 years? And how important is it for the present and future energy system?
So I think you can't overstate the importance of decentralized assets for the energy transition. Clearly, our energy system is moving away from the big power stations towards something which is more distributed in generation, in consumption also, because consumption is going up, not just in a few centralized places like a steel plant, but also decentralized as households electrify their entire energy need and you have heat pumps, EVs, etc. And so households which consume 10, 20 kilowatt of power were unheard of just a few years ago and are now normal. So in Germany in 2024, 25, we've seen quite a few regulatory changes which embrace that decentralized energy future. The paragraph 14a has become famous in Germany, or now actually difficult to translate into English, the solar peak law regulating how we deal with the onslaught of solar energy during peak times and how to best manage that. That forces the decentralized households out of fixed feed-in tariffs and self-consumption into a new system which is regulated by smarter technology and flexibility. And that is a huge opportunity both for the energy system as well as for Sonnen as a business. And so with that, I think we are at the brink, similar to how the internet really started from the late 90s, then in the early 2000s, where all of a sudden we will see a really dramatic shift. And so this for us is an opportunity. And in 5, 10 years, we will be looking back at this period as one where the future is actually being forged. And companies like S4in or Sonnen are at the forefront of this.
Yeah, I can only agree to that. I think flexibility is one key to a successful energy transition. In the beginning, you already mentioned as well, like it was a challenge for you to get that mindset or a change of mind going, especially today with homeowners or that are investing in energy storage or PV, for example, to become more energy independent. How do you convince those potential customers that sharing their stored energy or their harvested energy should be provided through a virtual power plant? Or how do you convince them to share their energy through a virtual power plant and that benefits both them and the grid?
Good question, Thea. So last year we had some significant floods in Germany. And that led to quite a bit of instability also in the power grid. And when our virtual power plant kicked in and to help stabilize the grid and ensure that we didn't have any brownouts or blackouts, we gave that as a message to all the Sonnen customers who participated in this. And of course, people are very proud of this, yeah, that they have helped to avoid a potential crisis. But you can tell all the stories you want. In the end, it is about what are the benefits for me as an end customer. And luckily, it's a win-win situation both for the grid as well as for the end customer. The legal environment now in Germany and many other countries makes it much, much more attractive to use such a smart system. And so even so, self-consumption is still very important for customers. Using that flexibility now and marketing this flexibility makes financial sense. And people start to understand that they would lose money if they only have dumb technologies and actually are able to make more money if they have smart technologies which help them to really capitalize on those opportunities. And they feel it in their pocket.
You explained the importance of the US market, Sonnen being in the US market already as one of or the leader. And you are also very prominent in Germany, but not only, you are operating in a large number of countries around the world. Thus, I'm very interested in your international expertise. Have there been any countries that have been easier or more difficult to enter than others? And what hurdles have you overcome, or what can other countries make easier for companies like yours?
Yeah, undoubtedly, our market entrance in the United States has been the hardest. I was just in the US just a few weeks ago, and the big challenge in the US is not just the enormity of the country, the cost of everything to set up a business when you are a startup in the United States should also be underestimated. But when you operate in the energy sector, then there is no such thing as a US market. We operate with our virtual power plant in Texas. We operate in Utah. We operate in California and in some New England states. But we don't operate, for example, in Tennessee or in Wisconsin. And so the reason for that is that each of those states has its own energy regulation, and some is more favorable to batteries or to virtual power plants than others. And so scaling, it becomes really, really hard. But then again, you don't have to look far when you look at the energy markets in Europe. One would think that we have the European Union, and because of this, there is a European energy market. But in reality, of course, it's a patchwork of not just countries, even within countries, between grid operators, distribution grid operators, or the last mile operators. And just because Sonnen is allowed to offer grid services, for example, in Bavaria, doesn't mean we can offer it Baden-Württemberg, one of the German states, we can now, but couldn't for a long time. And of course, it doesn't mean you can do it in Austria. And so I think this is one of the things which is specific to the energy market, that despite all the globalization and integration we had over the years, the energy markets and the market regulation is still very, very local.
That lets me wonder, is there, might be there a possibility in the far future that at one point the energy markets, or for instance, the sun communities, will eventually be connected across countries, for example, the US and Germany?
Yeah, so of course that is a vision of that global energy community. The reality, unfortunately, is a different one. So yes, I do see as a vision an integrated energy system in Europe where we can offer our services, where an S4IN could offer their services just to anyone within the European Union, for example. However, such a world is still quite far away. We are not seeing this on the horizon just yet. And when you compare this to other industries, so if you are a car manufacturer and you have a new car, you want to bring it to the European Union, you just need to register the car type in one country in Europe. So Tesla, for example, registered their cars in the Netherlands. It fulfills the Dutch regulation. And after this, that car can be sold in any European Union country. In our world, the energy world, that is just not the case. Just because you can do something in Germany means absolutely nothing for the Netherlands or Spain or Malta. And so I love your vision of this cross-border community. I think it's still far away.
So let's take a broader look at developments in the energy transition, as far as, of course, households are concerned. The introduction of smart meters in Germany, as an example, is progressing very slowly. How is this in general slowing down the development of a flexible energy market and thus the integration of renewables?
This would be the part where you would normally do a lot of Germany and smart meter bashing, and maybe deserved, yeah. But I think your audience knows the pain quite well. It has been the main reason for the development in flexibility markets in Germany lagging behind. But at least for the last year and a half, we do see quite a bit of progress, both on the smart meter rollout front, as well as actually on the legislative framework to then use those smart meters to really offer flexibility services which benefit customers and benefit the grid at the same time. And so that raises the pressure, of course, for companies now to provide smart meters. So more and more, because of that regulation, more and more of the grid operators have to install smart meters. And the Federal Network Agency in Germany just issued warning letters to some of the 700 local distribution grid companies to say, hey, you better speed up the pace of installation. This isn't going fast enough.
Great. I'm very happy to hear these positive news about the progress in Germany. So more than happy to hear that. But are there also other examples, other countries that do it a bit quicker or better than Germany?
I think that is not that difficult to find. The question is, is there anyone worse really than what we do? And usually you have to look quite far to find countries which are still further behind when it comes to a smart meter rollout. I think in Germany 2024, we had, 2% smart meters? That certainly is holding us back. That means we have higher electricity prices. That means we have to shut down wind and solar because of this. And if we wouldn't have that, if we would be something like a Belgium or the UK or someone who has really high smart meter penetration, then all of those assets which are out there could be used for the benefit of the grid.
Let's stay a little bit with technical restrictions and bureaucracy. In like lots of net operators are often cited as an obstacle. For example, complex approval processes, or lately the PV magazine cited over 340 gigawatts of grid connection applications in Germany so far. What would you summarize or see are the technical restrictions here or bureaucracy type of topics?
When you just look at the sheer number of grid operators in Germany, and all of them with their own rules for anything connection related. So of course we're facing significant bureaucratic challenges. The approval process for one of our storage system and VPP can take months, sometimes even longer than a year, before you can really fully utilize that system in the market and provide all the grid services. So when we were really at the infancy of this market, you understand that this is maybe part of the process because it's all new. But now it's 2025. We've been doing this for many, many years, and it's now really difficult to explain why this is so slow. And it is extremely frustrating also to our customers that they buy a system, they invest the money, they want to use it, and then we have to explain to them that no, this process takes months. Before you get something approved. And if the one person at that grid operator who is approving those things is going on a sabbatical for 3 months, then nothing gets approved for 3 months in that area because they only have one person doing this. And some have this rule, another one has another rule. One requires this form, the other one that form. One requires an email, the other one wants a fax being sent. And so streamlining this would really make all the difference. And that then really makes no difference between grid scale batteries or residential batteries. It is really slow.
Oh, wow. This is not too great to hear. Let's wrap things up. How do you assess the pace then in general? In Germany, quite slow, obviously. But are we, that's the most important question, are we making sufficient progress? And what is your forecast for the next 5 to 10 years?
So I do think that actually when it comes to installing capacity, we're actually broadly on track. When you look at what is being installed in Germany in terms of solar and other renewable sources, then we're actually doing okay. I think where we could do better is in ensuring that all of those assets are then actually used fully for the benefit of the grid. So the installation happens okay, then getting them into intelligent networks is something which is a bit more difficult. But I am an eternal optimist, so I do think that we will overcome those challenges. And when you look at some of those new legal requirements, which just passed through federal parliament here, then I do think that this is paving the way for a bright future.
Thank you for your insights. And let's get to our repeating last question for all of our change makers. Who is actually your favorite change maker, and who do you admire for his or her groundbreaking spirit?
So this is, I think, where half the people in the past might have said Elon Musk, and that has fallen out of favor a little bit. For me, actually, that is a person named Amelia Earhart. Everybody, half the people now will go, who? So Amalia was a pilot. She was one of the pioneers in flight. She was the first woman crossing the Atlantic on a solo flight. And she was a real advocate for innovation in flight, and therefore having this, as a question says, groundbreaking spirit was really entrenched in her. And so for me, she is certainly a role model. She never gave up. She soldiered on, she pushed on, she pushed herself and others around her to really achieve something which hadn't been achieved before. And so she certainly would be for me the change maker.
Perfect. I like also the female power here that is mentioned, and hopefully there are more also in the to be found in the energy transition. Thank you very much, Oliver, for this super interesting interview.
Thank you, Thea. Much appreciated. Thanks for having me.
And I do also hope that our listeners enjoyed this episode. Thank you very much, Oliver.